Recorded Books presents Tina, Mafia Soldier by Maria Rosa Cutrufelli. Translated by Robin Pickering Yazzi. Narrated by Antoinette Lavecchia. From Santo Cali. Above the lava rocks, amidst the broom, withered by the sun, I, ancient olive tree, am weary of singing to the desert. From Roberto Roversi. I can't speak about Sicily because I love her and it scares me. I want to say that in your land, anger runs thicker and the almond of pain ripens. Chapter 1. The separation was sharp, obvious, desired. Two contrasting worlds, the city and the villaggio, contiguous yet light years apart. The villaggio arose to make a space for hope, for modernity, and to achieve this aim, it seemed necessary to separate the modern from the ancient, the past from the future, to create a break. The villaggio was the new. It flaunted its still flawless asphalt, the perfect white street markings. To show off the goodness of the new was necessary, so that the laceration would transform into an opening toward the world, so that the arrow of development would shoot from the unfathomable depths of the cut and land solidly in the future. The villaggio was the dream of the new. On the small plain at the foot of the town, the ancient Piano Notaro, feudal lands belonging to a large estate owner, the streets intersected according to an orderly design of geometric simplicity. At each street corner stood the sign with its name, Via Corte Maggiore, Piazza Caviaga, Viale Enrico Mattei, in honor of the man who had insisted on building Agip, the petrochemical refinery, in Gela, on the southern coast of Sicily. Corte Maggiore, Caviaga, names from the mainland, foreign names. Perhaps that was why the buildings had those smooth, stark facades, without any terraces, without balconies. There was a link between those two things. Just like at San Donato Milanese, my friends maintained. To me, who had never been to San Donato Milanese, and therefore couldn't confirm or deny it, the whole thing sounded strange. Those Milanese must have been strange, too. Building their homes so they looked onto the interior without the caprice of a curly balustrade, a pot-bellied curve to soften the street's profile. Not even a little balcony to look outside? Nothing? Are you sure? Of course. Why would they need to look outside? To see the fog? The rain? Then, with an eloquent, definitive gesture, all of the buildings look like this. All of them. Just like this. The people who'd entered those buildings as renters or owners couldn't sit outside in their undershirt on the terrace or enjoy watching others on the evening stroll from a balcony. Nonetheless, they showed off their pride of ownership and boasted about their good luck. Life was decidedly more comfortable there, in the Villaggio of the Masters, as the people living in town called them, a self-sufficient nucleus, which had to be one of the creator's intentions. There was more than enough water. They could even wash their cars in the street. Public services, a church, a health clinic, a fully equipped beach open only to the residents. In town, water was available only for a few hours each day. At a distance of 2, maybe 3 kilometers, Gela, perched on its hill, unstable on the slope toward the sea, unhealthy and malarial on the slope to the plain, looking down at the villaggio, sheltered behind her archaic poverty, ensconced in the pride of a splendor that lived only in the quotations of her professors or erudite notaries. Aeschylus came here...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?